SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.
You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Friday, the 27th of February 2026. It's a day where the Australian share market rose a third of a percent to a record high. We'll get the details with Omkar Joshi from Opal Capital Management in a moment. Plus later, the CEO of Australia Post, Paul Graham, on his digital transformation plans. But first, the CEO of one of the world's largest technology companies has issued a blunt warning. More artificial intelligence-related job losses are coming, and it too is joining the stampede. Digital payments company Block purchased Australian Buy Now Pay Later platform Afterpay in 2021. The US-based company is listed on the ASX and says it is slashing its workforce by nearly half, from 10,000 to just under 6,000. That means 4,000 people are being asked to leave, and the company would not tell SBS News how many Australian jobs will be impacted. Investors, though, welcome the news, sending its share price soaring 28% today. It did also post a higher profit. But its CEO, Jack Dorsey, said AI is already helping the company do more with less, and here's some of what he had to say today at an analyst presentation.
The core thesis is simple. Intelligence tools have changed what it means to build and run a company. We're already seeing it internally. A significantly smaller team using the tools we're building can do more and do it better. And intelligence tool capabilities are compounding faster every single week. I don't think we're early to this realization. I think most companies are late. Within the next year, I believe the majority of companies will reach the same conclusion and make similar structural changes. I'd rather get there honestly and on our own terms than be forced into it reactively. And this isn't just about efficiency. Block serves millions of customers, sellers and consumers who are going to feel the economic effects of this same shift. Small businesses that rely on us to get paid, to manage their money, to access capital. Individuals navigating a financial landscape that's changing fast. Our job is to help them navigate it through it. That's not a new mission for us, but the urgency behind it is more pronounced, and the speed at which we need to deliver is accelerating.
That is Jack Dorsey there from Block, speaking at an analyst presentation earlier today. As I mentioned, its share price rising 28% on the back of that news and its profit update. And that's as the broader market closed at a record high. The S&P ASX 200 up 0.3% to 9,198. It means for the month of February, it roared 3.7% higher as reporting season came to a close. Utilities and telcos did best today. Coal shares plummeting 7.4%. Its 2026 sales growth so far this year is behind that of Woolies. So to tell us more about that and the rest of the day's market action, I spoke with Omkar Joshi. He's a portfolio manager at Opal Capital Management. Omkar, we're coming up to the end of reporting season. How would you rate it?
Been a very volatile reporting season. It's very similar to what we saw in August, and that trend has very much continued where small beats are being rewarded and even small misses are being punished quite significantly.
This is what I found interesting, though. We've seen some pretty wild share price reactions immediately after the results drop across the board, right? Some companies in the double digits. I think this is more than I can remember in the past. What do you think this is a sign of?
I think it's really a sign of rising uncertainty and volatility within markets more broadly. And we've been seeing this trend for a little while now, rising. And so I think that's driving a lot of the big moves that we're seeing, and I suspect they are going to be here to stay for a little while.
Would it be fair to say that how companies are using AI is a key theme this reporting season, not just how much they're spending, but the outcomes and the benefits? What are your thoughts here?
So I think the use of AI is definitely going to be picking up. It has already been used by a lot of companies, and I think most companies are experimenting, if not utilising it in some form, and they should be. But at the same time, I don't think it's going to be a massive change as such. There'll be some areas that change. There'll be some cost efficiencies that come through for some companies. Ultimately, a lot of that cost efficiency and margin benefit will probably get competed away because ultimately everyone's got access to AI. And so while there could be a step change and a short-term benefit, ultimately it probably ends up coming back to the actual customers, the benefit, rather than necessarily the shareholders in the long term.
Today we heard from Block, the Afterpay owner, 4,000 jobs going as it moves toward AI. A similar number of workers earlier this week are losing their jobs over the next couple of years at WiseTech. But investors like that sort of news. Shares in both those companies surging afterwards. Qantas said yesterday, while AI will impact its workforce, it'll mean a change of mix of the workers that it has eventually. Can I get your view on this? Is it inevitable that jobs will go and the new jobs to come out of AI, will they be enough to cover those that are lost?
So it's very hard to know if the new jobs that come will necessarily completely replace the number of jobs that that end up going because of AI. But I do think it is a natural evolution. It's like any other technology or any other change that we've faced over the last number of hundreds of years. As things change, the relevant jobs change, and that's what we are seeing now as well. So while the job might be relevant today, it may not be in 10 years' time, but there'll be a different type of job or skill set that's required. So workers will continuously be retraining and retraining for what's relevant at that point in time. So I don't think it's necessarily a big change in terms of how, you know, basically society has continued to change over time. In terms of the mix, that's really what changes. And it's very hard to know what it actually looks like by the end of it. But one thing's for sure, the jobs that are relevant today will definitely not be the exact same ones that it looks like in 10 or 20 years' time.
Okay, reporting season, one major one today. The market really liked those numbers from Woolies earlier in the week, but not from its rival Coles, which came out today. It seems to be a reversal of fortunes. What do you think Woolworths is doing right that Coles isn't, and what do their results say about the consumer at the moment?
So I think the big thing from Woolworths from the result was the fact that they had very strong sales growth, a good trading update as well for how they've started the new financial year, and it was a material change from where they were in August last year, and that was well rewarded by the market. Coles, on the flip side, good sales growth as well in how they've started the financial year, but it has lagged Woolworths, and so there is that concern that maybe there is a bit of a share shift from one to the other. Now, Cole says there hasn't really been that, but at the same time, you know, one is growing slightly faster than the other, so there has to be some share shift. So that really is all it was, dispersion between the two, very much an unwind or the reverse of what we saw last August, where Coles actually did very well and Woolies did very badly. And I think that's all there really is to it. In terms of the actual underlying consumer, look, both of them are seeing growth, and so we are still seeing consumer spending. And while that's not a great indicator necessarily of the whole economy, given that they are more staples and fresh and groceries, it does tell you that people are still spending. So it's good, but at the same time, not a great barometer for necessarily the whole economy.
And we know that the likelihood of interest rates are potentially rising this year, given that and everything we've discussed right now. What are you telling your clients at the moment, and where do you see the opportunities for investors?
So I think at the moment, so discretionary retail, and we've seen that coming through in a lot of the trading updates, they have been arguably on the weaker side of things. And that is the area where people are starting to pull back or at least be a bit more selective and, like the name implies, discretionary. And so that's what we are starting to see. And so when it comes to sectors that you're looking for, obviously AI disruption is one big theme, and AI beneficiaries as well. And I think that is a theme that's going to continue, and thinking through how that affects the different companies and their bottom lines around using AI or being interrupted by AI, and then also what's happening with the broader economy as rates go up. So those are kind of some of the things that we're thinking about around how we think about individual names. Ultimately, there's going to be winners in every sector, and you know, you wouldn't just necessarily close the book on any one sector, because there will be some companies that are doing something different or something well, and so there'll always be winners and losers in every sector.
That's Omkar Joshi there, Portfolio Manager at Opal Capital Management. He wraps up the end of reporting season for those companies listed on the ASX. There is one company not listed on the ASX that reported today, and that is Australia Post. The company says it needs to work with the government and union partners on further reform to avoid becoming a long-term burden on the taxpayer. That's as it posted a near 80% fall in half-year profit before tax of $50.4 million. While its parcels business saw higher about revenues and volumes, margins are being squeezed as intense competition from mega marketplaces like Temu and Amazon and gig economy logistics grows. A rise in postage stamp prices helped its letter service, but fewer people are using it, meaning it recorded a loss of $2.1 million. To tell us more, including its digital transformation path, I spoke with Australia Post CEO Paul Graham. Paul, you've made no secret of the tough operating environment with competition from mega marketplaces like Temu and Amazon and gig economy logistics. You say you're responding to these challenges by investing in your future and making the hard decisions now. What are some of those hard decisions?
Well, our decisions are in relation to starving capital from other parts of the business that we believe obviously are not as important as our parcel business. But that is really focusing on building infrastructure for our parcel business. If you look at the volume we handled last peak, 111 million parcels during that period, we frankly would not have been able to do that unless we had spent the extensive capital that we had in previous years to allow us to manage that type of volume. So it's about balancing where our investments go, but really taking a longer-term look in relation to the growth of e-commerce, and we know it will continue to grow. But we've got to fight tooth and nail for our market share. We are seeing, as you say, the global platforms continuing to march very strongly ahead. The entrance of gig economy players focusing on our metropolitan volume at much lower cost and much more flexibility than we have. So we are in a fight, but we're fighting with investment in our infrastructure, in our people, in our technology, and also making sure that we balance the critical role that we play in sustaining community services. And at the heart of that, of course, is our post office network, both for those community services as well as a place that's very much at the heart of our parcel network also.
Where does the digital transformation fit into all of this, the use of AI especially, and the impact on your workforce?
Yeah, look, we are in a digital transformation. We have a lot of old systems. We have very disparate systems that don't speak to each other. So part of our digital transformation is ensuring that we transform our business from a technology perspective. Obviously, these new platforms that we are investing in have got AI and cyber built into them, but we will continue to look at what AI can do to our business. We're fortunate in that the vast majority of our workforce are frontline people delivering parcels, delivering mail, serving someone with a smile over the counter at a post office. We do use AI in our call center, and we'll continue to explore that. But like all companies, we're in the early stages of trying to figure out what it can do for our business. It certainly may be able to deliver a better productivity, and that's something that will help us be more efficient.
Now, you're seeking further reform, working with the government and union partners to avoid becoming a long-term burden on the Australian taxpayer. What kind of reform?
Well, it'll be similar to the first phase of reform that we received, which allowed us to have a predictable price path for the price of a stamp, and we've been able to put the price of a stamp up to help stem some of those losses, as well as deliver every second day on mail. Our mail volume now is at the level that we saw 90 years ago, so that's how much it's declining. So we would look to work with our partners, both in government and the union, to understand the importance of being able to continue increasing the price of a stamp to stem those losses, but also as volume declines to adjust the service days for delivery to still meet community needs, but really reflect that ongoing decline. Say 12% decline in the first half of this financial year, and we expect that to continue to accelerate.
Just a couple of questions on staff. Last year you mentioned an increase in aggression against staff. Has that eased?
Look, it's still there, and you know we continue to see that come through both over the counter when people get frustrated. We have seen it in things like medicinal cannabis, for example. People are getting very anxious about their delivery. So I think we would reflect, given that we are in every corner of Australia, whatever the average Australian retail crime rate is, or the rate of challenging people, it is a concern, and we continue to upgrade our security and look what we can do in relation to that. But it is unfortunately a sad reflection of where society is. And I know the retail associations are also taking that mantle up with the local state authorities. But unfortunately, the short answer to your question is yes, it's still an issue for us.
Australia Post is known for having a very diverse employee base from cultural backgrounds, age and abilities. I'd love to learn more about how you're supporting your diverse workers, perhaps any challenges you've had to overcome and the rewards of having such a diverse background of employees.
But we think it's one of our strengths. We have 139 different nationalities that work in Australia Post. With 3.5% of our workforce, the First Nations, I've got a very big LGBTQI community. We are recognised as being a leader with people with a disability working in Australia Post, over 6% of our workforce. And this is a fantastic, rich canvas that we have at Australia Post. We think it's a positive for us, both from a cultural perspective as well as a service perspective, and reflecting the values of society. So whilst we may see other jurisdictions around the world pulling back on DEI, we think it's a real cornerstone of who we are as a business, important to our people and important to the communities that we service, and we'll continue to be hopefully a leader in DEI and making sure that we reflect the great canvas of Australia.
Finally, and circling back to what we started with, that tough operating environment, the digital transformation, the use of AI and how demands are changing, how different do you think Australia Post will be in 10 years' time?
Look, it'll all be about convenience, 24/7 access. It'll all be about digital. People want everything in their hands. So we'll continue to invest. We'll actually have more points of presence than we have today with our parcel lockers and other formats. We want to be ubiquitous in the community. So wherever you need us to provide that service, we'll be there to provide it. But it will be predominantly about parcels. That is the reality. Mail in 10 years' time, if there is still mail, will be fairly negligible. And the role of our post office will continue to change. There will still be a need for banking services and other things, but it will change by community. Regional Australia will have different needs from a built-up metropolitan area that may have different needs from a coastal town or a remote community. Our job is to understand what those needs are and make sure we're building services and infrastructure to continue to support them, not just now, but for many years to come.
That is Australia Post CEO Paul Graham wrapping up the podcast for today, for the week and for the month. If you enjoy it, give it a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Click subscribe and we'll chat on Monday. This SBS on the Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only and should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and it does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decisions.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.
You got to tell me about this.
See the breathtaking beauty of Australia with the man who knows it better than anyone else, Ernie Dingo.
Oh, my, amazing.
Going places with Ernie Dingo. Stream free on SBS On Demand.